thank you, Becky, for that lovely piece of music that would be serving as our choral introit as we go to our call to worship, which is Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2 and 19 through 29. Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Verse 18. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. As we come into that Easter season and we celebrate just what it is that brings so much joy to us, we have to remember that we're not there yet. We are still at Palm Sunday, which leaves us still on the side with Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday, then Good Friday and Easter Sunday still awaiting for us. So we have those yet to come. But we come together and we worship. We call on the Holy Spirit to be with us, gather with us, as we pray for a moment for the Holy Spirit to be with us on this Palm Sunday, just as Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. Join me in prayer. Most heavenly and gracious Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come into your courts with praise. Lord, we lift up our countenances upon you and ask that you bless us with your mercy and love. As we worship today, we remember that though the moment and the joy and the exaltation of that welcome of you into Jerusalem with palms, with hosannas, with praises, and great expectations, even though we know we were mistaken with our expectations, or the people of Jerusalem at that day were mistaken with their anticipations. But Lord, we know why you've come, and we know that your blessing is complete, and that we await your return with open hearts, thankful hearts, and blessed are we who trust in the Lord our God. Amen.
come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. I am strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you. You are mine. I am the word that leads all to freedom. I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. Stand up now, walk and live. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
To hear and imagine that Jesus is singing those words to each of us, telling us that the sacrifice that he makes in this Holy Week, culminating with the crucifixion, call it passion, call it palm, is all because he loves you, and God loves you, and he's here to fulfill the requirements of that love. Pray with me. Almighty God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross. Grant that we may share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we pray, we know that there are many people who, you know, 3 weeks into, or in some cases 4 weeks into, this stay in place and limit our outside movements and where we're doing social distancing and learning just what it is that's 6 inches, 6 feet away from each other and how to live that, whether it's wearing cloth masks or other coverings over our mouths and noses to preclude the transfer of some of those droplets and reduce and diminish the risks that each of us face. We know we can go to the CDC webpage and we can be reassured there's enough on the news each and every day, nearly every hour, on more things to do to make yourself safe. There are things that the Methodist Church has put out with regards to communion, with regards to worshiping in different ways, and we will comply with each and every one of those because we want to be safe. I won't get into the politics, I won't get into any of that, but rest assured that Jesus is still in control, that God is in control, and we have people who are looking at hospital visits, who have received pacemakers, who have knee replacements, and most of the non-essential surgeries have been postponed or canceled, but there are still those who are receiving emergency treatments, and we lift up those and are with the families of those who have those pending. The added stress and anxiety that people are, it's a real thing for them because their concern and their love for their loved ones who may or may not be able to get the care that they otherwise would have immediately, and the coverage or the care is being postponed. And we continue to lift up Al Miller and Fran and that whole family with his treatments. And we know, Lord, that you have him in your hands. We lift up those that have had injuries and are being treated. We lift up those who are not able to get out. We lift up those in the nursing homes that, you know, for them this is very real because the visits that they might have received, they're not receiving because the nursing homes are precluded for visiting. And so consider that as you look at, I think the Grapevine has got mailing addresses for all those who are in nursing homes or shut-ins. And the other thing I would would ask you to consider is being part of that prayer partner, which will be promulgated here in the next week or so, where each of us will call on someone, if not two people, by name, pray for them individually, ask how they are doing. The effort is to try and make sure that everyone in our congregation that we know of, that we can be in contact with, via one means or another, is reached out to and let know that they are loved and cared for, and that if there is a need, however small, that if we can address it, if we can meet it, then we will move in ways to do that. People have offered to make pickups, whether it's Walmart or prescription drugs or whatever the case might be. So don't think that no one in the congregation would be concerned with a need that you have. So if you have a need, no matter how small it is, please let either myself or Warren Wright know, and we will do all that we can to address that need and get the information to the people that need to get that. So let us be in an attitude of prayer. Most Heavenly and Gracious Father, we come to you as we do each Sunday. On Palm Sunday, we would have had a celebration of palms, a procession of palms, joyous and hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even though we don't have those palms, and even though we don't have that procession, we come to you this morning with that imagery in our minds, in our hearts, in our prayers, and in our voices, that we give thanks to you. And hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For we welcome you into our lives, dear Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit as a real and present presence in our lives. May you touch us in ways that leave us without doubt that you are our God. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The scripture for the day is from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken throughout the prophets, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And as we finish our prayer, Lord, we remember those who are first responders, those who are on the front line of keeping us safe, whether it's police and fire and rescue, those emergency medical teams, and now all the nurses and all of the medical care facilities and those people as they're dealing with this overwhelming onrush of virus, coronavirus or COVID-19 responses. And we lift them, each and every one, up to you. And we know throughout the world and throughout our country that we have people in the National Guard and our armed forces who have been put in positions where they have been activated and brought into the front line of this combat with this coronavirus, that we might diminish and squash its effect on the country. And as we reach noon of each day and we look to the prayer that the bishop has asked us each to pray, and that will be posted on our Facebook page, and it will go out to the grapevine for everyone. And in addition to that prayer, there's also a prayer for all those people who are essential workers, the ones who, for whom we would not be able to enjoy or even have a normal life were it not for their labors and their risks, and we lift them all up as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, as we finish with the scripture, I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. It's a pretty simple series of scriptures, 11 scriptures, very descriptive. When you think of the panoply or the pageantry that is occurring as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and the crowds of who have been following him, and this is the other thing that the commentators say, the people who are outside Jerusalem who have been following Jesus, and in the scriptures leading up to this week, they have been following Jesus and they watched him perform miracles, and
You know, whether it was raising Lazarus from the dead or feeding 5,000 with a lad's lunch or 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Miracles, miracles, unmistakably. And healing that fulfill prophecies that what the Messiah, as each of the prophets in the past have said, these things will occur, and the Messiah will be able to do these things, and these will be the wonders and the works that lead up to that time when this new kingdom is going to be established. And the title of the sermon is, This is the Mistaken Idea of the Kingdom. Because, you see, most of the people, even those that were following him, even his disciples thought that he was going to come in and establish a kingdom much like King David or King Solomon, one of casting out the Romans and getting rid of maybe Herod Antipas and restoring the temple and restoring a kingdom of David. But that's not Jesus' mission, and as we know later in the week, he defines that, articulates that time and time again, that that is not his purpose. That is not what he's going to be doing. He is coming to bring to earth a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom that is not of this earth, a kingdom that is based on faith, that is based on love, that's not based on war, it's not based on power, it's not based on money. It is based on God's love for us and the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. All those miracles were performed, whether you're reading John or any of the Synoptic Gospels, all of the miracles that are performed were to give signs of the power of God working through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Whether it's casting out demons, giving sight to the blind, healing the lame, healing lepers, each and every one of those miracles gives evidence and gravitas to Jesus' power, Jesus' mission. Now, the first part of this, the first 4 verses, this is the entry. And as we see how this unfolds, Jesus tells them as they come, they reach Bethpage and they're coming to the Mount of Olives and they're still outside Jerusalem, Jesus sends his 2 disciples in. Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a goat with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. Well, this is fulfilling a prophecy. This is from Zechariah 9:9. Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This should have been evidence to his disciples and to everyone else that this is not going to be an earthly kingdom, a kingdom like they might have expected. Because as some of the commentators and as my Duke Divinity instructor, Dr. Mickey Eford, said, most probably at the same time that Jesus is coming in by this gate on one side of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey and receiving, you know, the palms and the clothes being laid on the ground and Hosanna in the highest, Pilate is coming up from Antioch, because this is a high holy time and the power of Rome is going to be present at that point in time. And Pilate is probably coming in another gate, coming in from Antioch, riding on a charger or a stallion, a horse, with the full panoply of the Roman trumpeteers and all of this. This is occurring on one side of Jerusalem at about the same time that Jesus is entering into Jerusalem in a much less awesome way. But nonetheless, it's a simple, because see how he comes in. He's mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is not like Pilate riding in on this charger with guards and armed forces around him. Jesus' power is the peace and love and grace of God. And the people are the disciples put their cloaks on the donkey and the colt, and he sat on them. And he rides in, a very large crowd, spread their cloaks on the road. And others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Hence, Palm Sunday, the palm trees, the palm fronds were laid out. Now, the crowds that went ahead of him and were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Well, the reason I title this "The Mistaken Idea of the Kingdom" is because, and don't assume that they don't know what's going on, the people, but yet if we were there, we surely would understand and see all the signs. There's the entry into Jerusalem that's facilitated by the donkey, which just happens to be there, and Jesus has sent his disciples in to get the donkey and the colt. And they find him and they bring him in. There's the large crowd that sings, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But they're cheering and expecting a king who's going to cast out the Romans, cast out the Herodians, and establish a kingdom of David. And that's just not Jesus' mission. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, as he's told his disciples, to be betrayed, to be whipped and beaten, to be reviled, to be accused, to be spat upon, to be placed on a cross, hung on a tree, nailed to that cross, on that Mount of Golgotha. And there he will give to the full measure his life, his blood and his life itself and his breath. That is the palm coming to the Passion, which we celebrate on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. That is what Jesus is here for. That is what we celebrate and what we remember each time. I mean, we celebrate the joy and the resurrection, but we don't get the resurrection and we don't have the second coming if we don't realize what it cost Jesus in that 6 hours on a tree on Golgotha, that anything but Good Friday. And he did that for you and for me. John 3:16, "Greater love hath no man than he." God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have that everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world that, rather than condemning them, that they might be saved. That's why Jesus is there. Yes, there's the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes, there's the night in the upper room. Yes, there's the betrayal of Judas. All of those things in front of us. But at this moment, we celebrate this triumphal entry. All the miracles that have been performed. And for this moment, people recognize him as a king. They have a mistaken idea of his kingship, but they see him as king, Lord of lords, Prince of peace, Lion of Judah, and they worship him, and they praise him, and they sing him, and there's elation, and there's joy, and there's faith, and there's hope. In this day, when we're dealing with this coronavirus, there's plenty of room for hope, there's plenty of room for joy, there's plenty of room for us to celebrate even small victories. We're not out of the woods yet. And we should continue to practice safe things like covering our mouths when you're sneezing, making sure that whatever precautions are promulgated by the CDC, we adhere to them. The very fact that we're watching our worship services, and Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, John Snow and his congregation are going to be down at Stingray Point, and they're going to be sitting in their cars and listening to a worship service at 9 o'clock. There are many ways for us to worship. I know Lower United Methodist Church is doing a live stream event on Facebook, and they put it on YouTube. And as you're watching this, you know that Clarksbury is putting it up on Facebook, and we're worshiping in that regard. And we're celebrating the opportunity that we all have to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But know this. He came to save. Now that seems like, well, that's an easy thing because he's the Son of God. You know, we read in Genesis, in the beginning, there was the word, God speaks into the void and creates everything. In John, the first chapter, in the beginning is the Word was God, the Word was with God, and nothing was created without him. Jesus takes on flesh. He is the Word of God. He takes on flesh and comes and walks as you and I, as a human, flesh. He heals. He's injured. He bleeds. His bones are not broken, but his flesh is pierced. He's been spat upon. He's been lashed. All of those things because of you and for me. Because of my sin, because of our sin, because of the sins of humanity. But God has a purpose for all of this, and that is that we will be together with him on that judgment day. By our faith, not by anything that we've done, because we don't merit it. There's nothing that we could do to enter, to merit and earn that grace and that love and that mercy. Jesus Christ has paid it all. Jesus Christ came to serve, came to die, that he might overcome death and the grave, and that he might triumph and ascend, and that he will come back. And that's what we celebrate, and that's what we look for, and that's our hope and our faith. There are turmoils and tragedies that will occur day in, day out. In the last 2,000 years since Jesus ascended to heaven, there have been plagues, there have been pestilence, there have been wars, there have been senseless acts of violence worked on the rest of the world by humanity. Hurricanes and tornadoes, typhoons and the like. But the love of God, the peace of God, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit is always here, and he will always be with us. Make sure that your idea of the kingdom and his kingship is the right idea. Be at peace.